welcome back to another edition of the Ruthless Aggression Podcast here on the Barber Share Network. I'm Chris, joined by Rob. Appears to be joining us momentarily. He's in this link. He's just away for a couple of moments here, but let's get things started here. Last time we talked to you, CM Punk obviously was embroiled in some controversy along with the Elite, as well as Ace Steel and others. The aftermath of that, we kind of talked about with regards to Dynamite. Solid show, I think. Rampage, I don't think Rampage didn't have too much aftermath to it, though, right? It was kind of more just like a show that's kind of forging its own path.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, Dex Harwood and Claudio had a good match.
Yeah, I was wondering what your opinion of that match was, because I know you're a big fan of both, especially Dax.
Yes, very solid match. Definitely check that out. But yeah, not a whole ton of, you know, new current stuff in the time since we last spoke, and we'll get Pierce's thoughts on suspensions and stuff and Clash of the Castle when he gets here. But you know, for now, we just jump right into 2006, I think.
Let's go back. But first, I know yesterday I caught wind because there was a Reddit post about Brian Gewirtz's new book.
Yes.
And there were some interesting details in from that book, which seems to be a hit among at least a lot of the wrestlers who keep posting it. It seems like a good book to pick up and read. However, there was one person who made a summary of things that happened on Reddit. And funnily enough, there was some stuff from the Ruthless Aggression era that I thought was very startling and surprising because I never heard this before. But according to the book, and this is relevant just because it's dealing with the Ruthless Aggression era, this is all the way back in 2002. So if you remember how things were back then, this should be an easy picture to paint. The summer of 2002, and I'm paraphrasing this Reddit post for the record. Summer of 2002, Paul Heyman and Brian Gewirtz were summoned to Stephanie's office. Vince Russo was being brought back as the head of creative. Vince McMahon wanted Paul and Brian to back Russo and take him seriously and make his ideas work and not find the reasons why they wouldn't work. Apparently, Vince Russo wanted a long-term storyline between Shane McMahon and Eric Bischoff. Eric wasn't under contract at the time and wasn't interested in coming to the WWF. Russo stated that everyone knows as a shoot, there's personal heat between Eric and Shane, but Gewirtz was unclear what he meant by that. Russo pitched to strip The Undertaker of the title with no reason given, have a tournament, and put it on Rob Van Dam. His reason was to put the title on Taker, or reason to put the title on RVD was not because Taker was not hip and cool, rather. And Russo's son and friends always talked about RVD. That's who should be champion. Bro, have you ever done Chris Jericho versus Triple H, which was the main event of WrestleMania 18 the year before, the several months prior? Russo wanted to reform the Generation X, bring back China, and wait for Road Dogg to get out of prison. After the meeting Vince McMahon had with Brian Gewirtz and Paul Heyman to get feedback on Russo, they listed the ideas above, and Vince apologized and removed Russo from creative and made him a consultant. 2 weeks later, he was in TNA.
That makes sense. You know, he claims that he was a consultant again for USA Network the past couple of years. I don't think he was.
Oh, brother.
That's what he said.
Yeah. You know. Give me a break.
Yeah. I knew they brought him back in 2002 and didn't go well. I didn't really know the scope of it like that. But yeah, that's something, man. I mean, my God. But yeah, we should get into 2006 here, I suppose, with the SummerSlam is the show we're starting with this week because we didn't get to it last week.
But, correct.
Yeah, SummerSlam 2006 from the Fleet Center in Boston.
I believe this is the 20th SummerSlam. Because it began in, or 19th, one of the two? One of the two. Oh, yeah, 20th was 2007.
Yeah.
Okay, that was when I went to. This one was from Boston. The formerly known Fleet Center, TD Garden, TD North Bank Garden, they've TD like Waterhouse Garden or whatever the hell. They've changed it a bunch of times over the years. So SummerSlam 06. So going into it, to be honest, this is kind of a vibe that I had. It didn't really feel like SummerSlam.
No, not really.
It kind of felt like an event that had the name SummerSlam and had all the fun and hype and stuff. But I felt like the road to SummerSlam the last couple of years has been a lot better. This one, it feels like the third brand of WWE CW has kind of muddied things a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I feel like there's not enough focus.
No,
and there's not enough big to me. Hogan Orton is not doing it for me. And they didn't really do it for me back then either.
And they didn't get to really build it like they should have.
No, exactly. Because Hogan got hurt. But even still, it's just like it's lacking a lot of punch. But let's move on. The show started off with a match between Chavo Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. Of course, this is a match that's happened a number of times in the Federation already. Of course, it was Rey Mysterio's debut match in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're fighting because Chavo believes that Rey is a thief and took the Guerrero name and used it for his benefit, which in storyline makes a lot of sense given what happened. Obviously, even though Rey clearly didn't do that on purpose, was not his intent.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the match. It was a fine opener.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. You know, they started the brawl and they were really laying it in there for a little bit.
Yeah, which I thought was a good idea because this is a personal feud and whatnot. So you don't need to be starting off with like, you know, the typical ways that a cruiserweight match would start off with the high flying and athleticism. Mm-hmm. No, these are two guys who don't like each other right now. So they're going to fight.
Yeah, exactly. You know, eventually Vicky Guerrero came down and told Chavo to stop it and then accidentally knocked Rey off the top rope and Chavo was able to hit a frog slash for the win. So we'll see how Vicky's involvement plays out in all this, I suppose.
Accidentally.
Yeah. Booker and Charmel are discussing tonight's match, and they say they're the most powerful couple in sports entertainment. Then Edge and Lita come in, say actually they're the most powerful couple. You know, this was the really nice thing about actually sticking to the brand.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
This is what made that era fun, because you don't see interactions like this all the time. When the hell was the last time Edge and Booker T had a legitimate interaction?
Yeah, I mean,
it's been years, probably not since they wrestled at Mania X8.
Yeah, I mean, because Edge got hurt.
He got drafted to SmackDown. Booker T was obviously on Raw. And by the time Booker T got on SmackDown, Edge was... Then Edge moved over to Raw. So, yeah, this has been a good 4 years since they've interacted.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, it's cool that they're able to do this.
I agree with you.
Something that we kind of miss out on now because...
Yeah, and there's certain wrestlers who been protected from each brand respectively and whatnot. I know up until recently, Carmella was never on Raw and Shinsuke Nakamura still hasn't really been on Raw ever.
Yeah, see, so, I mean, it's so kind of not enforced anymore, though. It's hard for me to specifically say, like, hey, this guy's never been on SmackDown, this guy's never been on Raw.
Well, like, again, Knock has been on there like two times in 5 years. That's a pretty strong enforcer.
Like, you know, you look at a guy like Shawn Michaels, be like, he was always on Raw.
Always on Raw. Never, rarely on SmackDown, if ever.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be nice if we could kind of go back to that a little bit more, but doesn't seem likely. It's because...
The nature of the business now.
Yeah. So move on to Sabu against the Big Show for the ECW Championship in the Extreme Rules match. Sabu starts hitting Big Show with a chair right away, which is what you got to do if you want to beat him. Sabu hits a bulldog and Big Show through a table set up in the corner. And Big Show sets up a table and Sabu DDTs him through it. He tries a triple jump and Big Show just catches him and chokeslams him through the table and gets the win to retain the title. So, you know, again, Sabu probably could have had the belt, but I don't know. You know,
yeah,
wrong with Big Show, I guess.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah. Then it's time for Randy Orton against Hulk Hogan. And I think the most confusing thing about this match is, like, I'm not sure why Randy lost.
I think that, well, it's...
They did that stupid false finish.
Yeah. The dumb false finish, the dusty finish, because his foot was on the ropes. Yeah.
And he was celebrating. And, like, I don't know, like, maybe Hogan being hurt took away a little bit from the match, but I'm also not sure what they could have gotten out of him, especially with this result.
I know that he won the Orton feud, or I know he won the Angle feud or whatever, or sent him off at least, but I wonder if part of this was, again, like, oh, yeah, he hasn't learned his lesson, brother. He needs to lay down for the three count, look up at the lights one more time to get the point.
I guess so, but, like, you know, they did this Legend Killer thing, and that
I agree.
The feud and,
well, like, they did the Legend Killer thing, and then it just kind of fizzled.
Yeah, they're just it wasn't a good match.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't a good match. It wasn't a good program. It wasn't really much of anything. The only memorable part was the RKO onto the car.
Yeah, I believe it's Hogan's last WWE match as well. Pretty sure.
I think you might be correct about that.
I don't think, because he was. in TNA. By the time he came back, the old guys weren't wrestling anymore because of Lawler.
Yeah.
So I think this is the last WWE match, to be honest with you. Which, what a way to go out, I guess.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I mean, he also beat Michaels, but, you know, I guess. I think Orton could have benefited more from beating him than Michaels.
Certainly. If you have Orton beat him, but of course it wasn't in the plans, obviously, to do Cena Orton or have him be involved. But like, if you haven't beat Hogan, he's immediately an even bigger threat.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What's up, Pierce?
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Doing well. We're just doing a little bit of SummerSlam while we're waiting for you here.
That's wonderful. Nice to see you. It is a glorious Sunday morning. If you guys are here, I'm assuming, yeah, you already watched the first slate of games. Maybe you're on the second, and you're thinking, ah, Vikings, Packers is trash. Let's pop into this brand new Ruthless Aggression. Hi. Nice to hear from you. Yeah, we're in the middle of SummerSlam. We're going to do SummerSlam, and then 2 weeks or one?
We have SummerSlam and then the three shows after, and then that's it for this week. And then starting next week, we'll be doubling up and get caught up. So
yeah, so we'll hope to have you caught up week by week by the beginning of October. We're going to take this one little show at a time here. But to your Hogan point, yes, Randy absolutely could have gotten that match and should have gotten that match in hindsight. I understand why you go for Vince or Hogan, though. You know, if this truly, if there was in the plans at the time that he wasn't going to wrestle full time, I'm not sure if it was or not. But if it was, you gotta let Hogan go off on a dub. So I understand it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it is what it is. Like, whatever.
Right, it's not like, it's nothing lovely. It's not ideal, but.
Yeah. And Randy ends up being fine, I guess. I mean, he has 15 more years ahead of him. So yeah, we moved to Mick Foley against Ric Flair and I Quit match. And I don't know, like, it wasn't bad. I don't think it was just kind of weird and unnecessary. Like, why are either of these guys at their age doing this?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Like, you know, you get barbed wire involved and Flair gets all bloody and stuff. And then, you know, Mick's only willing to quit because Rick's going to attack Melina. It's just, I don't know. Like, the whole story was weird. It was fine when it was like, hey, you know, we don't like each other because Flair said stuff about Foley in his book. And in that case, they probably should have just turned Foley face and Flair heel. Probably would have been a better dynamic here.
Instead of Flair, Foley being a heel and no one wants to root against Mick Foley. You know,
exactly.
Like the reason why the ECW match worked so well is because it was a farce. Mm-hmm. You know, we all knew that Mick was leaning into the bit, kind of like how he did as Cactus Jack in ECW. He would lean into being a heel at times. Now you're just sticking him aside from Ric Flair, and it never meshed. They tried to make it off of real life beef, and none of their matches ever hit. You know, you could say whatever, if it's about the age, it's cool, but I do think a big part of that is no one wants to boo Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Mick Foley's not a bad guy. And as we'll see with the Melina situation, using Mick and you know, the fact that he is such a genuinely good guy to, you know, humiliate him and make a mockery out of him. They did a lot around this time, and yeah, none of this feud hit for me. It's stored so far in the back of my mind that every time I think about 2006, I'm like, wow, they really did do Mick Foley and Ric Flair in summer of 2006.
Mm-hmm. So up next, it's Booker T and Batista for the World Heavyweight Championship. Kind of feels like Batista's just going to get the title back and, you know, move ahead. But no,
really did.
That's not what happens. They have a pretty fine match, like pretty average, and Charmel attacks Batista for disqualification, so he's not getting the title back, which, I don't know. I mean, extended another 6 weeks or whatever till the next SmackDown pay-per-view, but I don't know. Probably could have just went with Batista here. I mean,
I don't think so. Yeah, that's the thing. You don't want to undercut
Booker's reign. He finally got the title.
Exactly.
And, you know.
And I think that Booker's
had it for, what, a month at this point?
Yeah, he's had it for less than a month because The pay-per-view was on July 23rd, if I recall correctly. So
I don't think Batista really gets the belt until Survivor Series, right?
Yeah, he doesn't get the belt until November because he wins it in Philadelphia, because which is fitting because he gave it up in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. So they stretch it out a little bit.
Yeah, they stretch it out a little bit.
DX beat Vince and Shane, and Vince and Shane got like a million people involved. Didn't matter. DX just beat him anyway. I think we only have a month or so left of this, so that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
My God.
It's really losing steam. And then in the main event, you get John Cena against Edge for the WWE title. I don't know. You know, it's not the best match they had with each other.
Yeah, it's really weird because, like, I feel like going in and looking back, the Cena-Edge rivalry is remembered pretty fondly, obviously. But up until this point, I think even after this point, the matches that they've had have been, like, all right and not, like, great. Obviously, we're teed up for a really, really, really good one next month in Unforgiven.
Yeah.
But in the that's with the benefit of hindsight. At the time, I think you could say that these two at first didn't really do too great in, like, do too memorably great, I should say, in the ring.
No, and no. I mean, I think people remember the segments.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's good to give people memories and whatnot. But the actual matches themselves so far have not been up to
their second biggest one-on-one match?
Or yes.
Third biggest one? Technically the second biggest one-on-one.
Yeah, the second. Yeah, because they've done. Yeah.
Yeah, which the Rumble match was.
They've technically done. This is their fourth encounter, technically. The first one was in New Year's Revolution, obviously, at the end of it. Then the Rumble. Then the match in February on TV where Mick was the special guest referee, the one on Thursday, and now this is the fourth one. But this is technically, but this is definitely the second biggest one besides the Rumble.
Yeah,
correct. And, so it's still, it's,
yeah. It, but so that it's obviously still involved
relatively fresh and
yes. You know,
At this point, they're still working each other out. They're still feeling out what this rivalry is supposed to be, and I do think, like, at the time, I had no understanding of why Cena would lose in his hometown of Boston. I felt like crowd so hot for Cena. He's at this point where he is just nuclear. I thought he was going to get the belt back then and there. And to see Edge get the smarmy win in Boston, while it wasn't a particularly great match, I did think that did so much as far as furthering that rivalry, because up until this point it's just Edge sneaks in and wins, Cena gets immediately gets the belt back. You know, Edge is now champion, Cena has to chase him, and Cena has to have a reason to it can't just be as one-sided as it is with Edge not really getting an upper hand. So Edge has to be able to use his heel taxes to get under that skin, and then you lay the groundwork for TLC, and as we'll get to next month or a couple weeks, actually a phenomenal main event that, like, 16 years later still holds up. You know, it's not there yet as in terms of the rivalry, but we're getting there. And then a couple years later, once they finally bring it back and you finally, you know, really get to the point where, wow, Edge Cena is an all-time rivalry. You know, it's not there yet, but it is getting there.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, that was all that was on SummerSlam. It didn't feel like it had the kind of star power and punch of the past couple years. And, you know, I haven't seen 2007 in a long time. You know, obviously, things get a little weird in summer of 2007 for a handful of reasons. Okay,
listen, as someone who was at SummerSlam 2007, that show is a one-match card. It is the main event. But the main event is John Cena versus Randy Orton, and it's an incredible first-time ever match.
That's fair.
So,
man, it's not just a one-show event. It's a one-show event with a kick-ass theme song.
Very true. Wine Up by Cat DeLuna is a fantastic theme song.
What was this year? Last year was Get It Poppin'.
This year they had Cobra Style by the Teddy Bears and then The Enemy by Godsmack. So, yeah,
that's right.
I think Cobra Style got around, because I know that SummerSlam wasn't the only thing that they did. I think, I don't remember what, they were using some type of advertising for one of the major TV networks, I want to say.
Let's see, Cobra Style by the Teddy Bears was used, it was in FIFA 06.
Okay, there we go.
It was also in the trailer for Epic Movie, G-Force, and Megamind.
That might have been where I've heard it as well.
yeah, it's kind of been also in Employee of the Month, Benchwarmers, College Road Trip. It's just in like a million movies that came out at that time.
Yeah, saw Benchwarmers also. But
Benchwarmers is a good movie. But yeah,
it's a very stupid movie, but it's very stupid humor.
To move to next week here.
Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Yes. Top five songs stayed the same. So Buttons, Me and You, Promiscuous, Crazy, and London Bridge. Top five movies. Debuting at number five, Accepted, which movie.
Yeah.
Step Up is down to four. World Trade Center is down to three. Debuting at number two is Snakes on a Plane. And staying at number one is Talladega Nights. Still have not seen Snakes on a Plane. I was a big...
That was big on the internet.
Big internet movie. It's probably not very good, but you know. But yeah, rather than Bridgeport, remember Bridgeport had a pay-per-view a couple of years ago?
Yeah, they had to go for 25.
Yeah.
Because they had to move it from San Jose, which I think is unfortunate, but they had to move it from the San Jose State Event Center.
Yes. But Edge is here to open the show, but Lita's not with him. Everyone thought Edge was going to lose the title last night, but they were all wrong. Edge is champion. Where's his belt? Where's Lita? It is at the Bridgeport Harbor, throwing the old title in the harbor. Because Edge has a new title with the Rated R logo on it, and that spins as well.
It does.
So, since Cena's out of Edge's life, if anyone else wants to come challenge for the title, they can. And this is where Jeff Hardy comes out. And,
I think Edge's reaction, facial-wise, to this was great.
Yeah.
He really sold the fact that he was totally stuck. And then, of course, he dropped the line... What the hell are you doing here, Jeff Hardy? Didn't you die like 3 years ago?
Jesus Christ. Yeah. He said, just a loser like his brother, so they will probably wrestle at some point soon.
Well, he was right about Matt Hardy being a loser.
No, that's true. Yeah. The Highlanders, Eugene and Jim Duggan defeat the Spirit Squad, who should probably not have the tag titles anymore.
This is the state of...
Oh, come, Robbie.
This is the state of the Raw tag division, by the way.
Yeah.
To this point, it's like people were complaining about, oh, whoa, why did Braun like bury the tag division? Listen, it's pretty good, and we're not going to get as low as this, so we're okay. It's fine.
At least the Highlanders weren't losers like other Scottish people in WWE at the moment.
Jesus Christ!
You know
what about what? Leave Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. alone, okay? Thank you.
Edge goes into Vince's office, and Vince is not there yet. Coach is in there using a Bowflex. Edge wants to wrestle Jeff Hardy tonight, and he tells Coach to make it happen. Coach says that's fine; they can wrestle for the title. And Edge says non-title. Coach says that's fine too. Vince and Shane come in and tell Coach to get out of there. They're not done with DX yet.
Then backstage, Randy Orton was with Todd Grisham. Orton said that he was screwed over last night, and he's going to use all of his pent-up aggression to beat up Ric Flair, who is a bigger legend than Hulk Hogan anyway. Todd said that Flair cannot be 100% right now, but Randy does not care. Carlito interrupted and talked a little trash, but Randy was not having any of it. So it looks like we're going to do a Carlito versus Randy Orton program.
Yeah.
Not bad. Not a bad use of the resources there. DX spray painted their logo on the WWE jet. I remember that whole thing. That was, it was a whole, whole thing. Trish defeated Victoria to become the number one contender for the women's championship. So that means they're doing Lita versus Trish Stratus at some point. Seems like a big match.
At the pay-per-view.
Wonder where that will be. Toronto. Yes. So Vince was in the ring. He said he's going to have DX arrested. They showed up on the big screen, and they also sprayed their logo on Titan Tower. I wonder if that was superimposed.
No, I think they actually did that.
Did they really? Yeah. Wow.
Had to take some time. I mean, they didn't do it.
But certainly, I mean, they probably had some cranes or whatever.
Came in and did it.
Yeah, exactly.
Vince and Shane come across Mick Foley in the back, and... Vince is going off after all the stuff that Mick said about him last week, and he's not happy about it. And Mick can join the Kiss My Ass Club tonight or be fired.
Once again, why do we have to humiliate Mick Foley at every turn?
Well, you know.
It's so silly.
Edge is in action against Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy still looks good, which, he has been wrestling the past couple of years.
He has, of course.
Jeff hits Swanton, but Lita puts Edge's foot on the ropes and then pulls him out of the ring. And then as he's out of the ring, John Cena comes out and starts brawling. And then they end up outside, and Cena throws Edge into the harbor. Okay. I mean,
the harbor part is fun. I wish that we got more things like that.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, I think we will. I think we will get more things like that. I don't. Maybe that was just a Vince thing, not wanting to deal with the logistics of it all. I think we're trending a little bit more backward, not backwards, but
yeah. I mean, I agree because, like, you know, you look and see how NXT has been utilized and whatnot with all the backstage brawls and stuff like that. So hopefully that is something worst
parking lot in the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they even brought back Gargano and Theory a couple weeks ago. They did the Gargano got interviewed in the empty arena in the stands. They haven't even done that in 15 years.
Yeah, they haven't done that in a long time.
That was something they used to do a lot. But yeah. So, I mean, just changing it up so it's not, you know, standing in that weird ring they have backstage doing the interviews.
I like it more than the interview pit that they had, the same interview pit that they had basically for like 20 years.
Yeah, that's fair.
To be fair.
So move to Johnny Nitro against Kane for the Intercontinental title. Umaga comes out and starts attacking Kane, so
they're going to feud because Kane showed up during the match at SummerSlam, went after Umaga. So, because he came back. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're going to be doing Kane versus Umaga, good old monster brawl.
Ric Flair is in action against Randy Orton. Rick's still beat up from last night. Randy's taking advantage of that and beating him up more. And he wins with an RKO. And after the bell, he keeps beating Rick up. So the referee reverses the decision.
Well, you know. Sure.
Yeah.
Then Mick went to the ring for the Kiss My Ass Club. After a bunch of deliberation, he says he's not going to do it. And Vince said that he'll fire Molina if Mick does it. So he does it, but then Molina low blows him and tells him he's a loser and he's fired and we're done with this shit.
Finally. Yeah, I'm just glad we're done with the Molina stuff.
I'm fucking bad. Thrilled.
Oh, man. So Vince and Shane go out and get in the limo. And then as they're driving away, the axle snaps off and DX is spray painted on the door and Vince seemingly has a breakdown. So, okay. He's not going to have great luck with limos the next year or so.
No, he's not. He is certainly not. Okay, so we go to ECW from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. They were going to open with a bikini contest between Tori Wilson and Kelly Kelly. However, Mike Knox said that Kelly cannot be in it, which brought out Sandman and Tommy Dreamer, and now we're having a mixed trios match.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very good, but babyfaces get the win, so whatever. Sure. Big Show has accepted a challenge from Sabu tonight to defend the title in just a regular match, because... you know, Sabu already beat him in he beat Sabu in Extreme Rules match, so Big Show figures he has the advantage here and tells Paul Heyman not to worry. Matt Stryker's here. I fear he might work for ECW now.
Well, he's not only working for them, he'll be calling the action for them, too.
Yeah.
He's the one who, yeah.
I am going to replace Taz at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I believe so, at least.
That's unfortunate. Kevin Thorne picks up a win against Balls Mahoney. CM Punk is in action against C.W. Anderson. Again,
there's a name.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure why Punk had to go 50-50 with Justin Credible in his first match and then beat him quickly in the second match and then beat C.W. Anderson quickly. Probably could have just had him beat, you know.
I guess they felt it's Justin Credible. It's the Hammerstein Ballroom. Let's give him a little something just as a favor or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they were going to get rid of him anyway. Shortly thereafter, so
yeah, that's fair. Punk wins with the Anaconda Vice, so he's 3-0. Hardcore Holly is in ECW now, so
okay,
yeah. I mean, that's a good spot for him. He kind of fits the mold,
yeah.
Well, does Hardcore Holly fit in WWE ECW?
Yeah. Pierce, we can get into it after if you want, but, you know, I do want to get your thoughts on the Punk stuff, because I know he was one of your favorites at one point. Like, he was everyone else's favorite, and, yeah, where are you at right now?
I mean, I'm definitely on the side if he's a fucking lame. I mean, I defended Punk, you know, for kind of how, you know, he felt over the WWE situation and, you know, needing to go do his own shit and then finally return to wrestling. That's all fair and game, but you committed a lot of red flags, just like general human being courtesy red flags with that press conference the other day. And, you know, bringing up Colt is one thing. I understand that used to be your man's. It's not your man's no more. But just to take a pot shot for no reason and then to go as far as to bring his mother into it, I felt was a bitch move. You know, say whatever about the Bucks and Kenny going after them, and they were justified in it. I mean, they might have chosen the wrong way to do it. They're completely justified in doing so. If I'm Colt, I'm at his door. Like, you are not saying a fucking word about my mother and not getting a punch to the fucking face. You are not Teflon, my guy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, nah, I don't fuck with Punk as a human being. Like, yeah. it, people could do their victory laps or whatever. Cool, fine. You know, some of us still had faith that, like, hopefully he would be a good dude. And, you know, given how he's treated Kofi and several other people, you know, his just self-bloviating just shit last year by coming in and wanting to work with the new kids. And then now you complaining about you working with fucking children.
Yeah.
And you know, you talk about being a locker room leader. You talk all this shit about being a locker room leader. Yeah, you get that shit out of here, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy, though, because, like, the first 6 months, you know, he worked. He was on Rare Dynamite or whatever every week, just kind of working a match against, you know, Dante Martin or whoever. And, you know, it was good. He did seem like he actually cared. But, yeah, something definitely shifted after the MJF stuff. And, you know, it shouldn't have gotten to this point. They should have probably talked it out at some point instead of letting it blow up. Because, again, it's hard to imagine him coming back now, even – I mean, even now, he's coming off another major injury. He's going to be 45 or whatever. Like, there's a point exactly. in putting coming back. But, like, yeah, it's a mess, man. It sucks. But, yeah, hopefully everything works out. RVD got a win against Danny Doring, and Hardcore Holly attacked both after the match, which means we have an all-time Hardcore Holly match coming up in the next couple weeks.
Yes.
Where he gets absolutely demolished on a table.
Yeah.
And we move on to Sabu and Big Show for the ECW title. Sabu eventually just gets fed up and starts hitting Big Show with the ring bell for the disqualification. Big Show starts bleeding. And Big Show's on the apron. Sabu hits him with the ring bell again, off the apron through a table. So, you know, Sabu showing some intensity, so that's good. But,
yep,
you know, when you aren't in Extreme Rules, this is actually not a bad episode of ECW.
No, it's really not.
They paced it well.
They did.
Which is something that they have struggled with.
All right, so quick interjection of sports. Not much happened this week, though. Very quiet as we approach the month of September. A couple notable things happened. On Sunday, on the day of SummerSlam, Tiger Woods won the 2006 PGA Championship by 5 strokes. He became the first golfer in history to win the PGA Championship twice on the same course, which was Medina Country Club. His 18-under par, 270, equals the record set by himself and Bob May in 2000 for the lowest 72-hole score to par in the PGA Championship. He also became the first male golfer to win 2 majors in each of 2 successive years.
Oh, there you go.
Let's see. Other things. The Yankees completed their first 5-game sweep at Fenway Park since 1943, which gave the Yankees a 6.5-game lead over the AL East on Monday when Corey Lytle threw 6 shutout innings to beat the Yankees 2-1. So they gave up the... They gave up the 1 run after Lytle was done.
Oh, damn. Why'd I say that?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, wait, was it 2006 or 2008 that he passed?
He passed away actually that October.
A month later.
Yeah.
I was like, I said, oh my God, because that's a name I haven't thought about. But then I'm like,
yeah, no, I saw that too when I was looking this up. And I was like, wait, shit, that happened soon. Mm-hmm. And then I remember.
And he was pretty solid if I
He was, in yeah.
the playoffs. Because he pitched like a couple of days before the plane crash, and he was pretty
yeah. Mm-hmm. And at the time, you know, it's like, you know, I'm pretty sure, I know my Nana was thinking like, oh my God, this is happening again, because, you know, happened with Munson, obviously, with the plane and whatnot. I think I don't remember if anything happened with Catfish, but I know he died unceremoniously as well when he was a member of the team too. So that was like very jarring. But we'll get to that when it happens in October.
Yes.
As far as anything else, there was some just general qualifying legs for Champions League. Way too many results to even take in, as well as the UEFA Cup. Not too much on here that we can just wait until next week to talk about the rest of sports. So let's move forward to SmackDown, also from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania.
Yes. Booker T is here with his court to start the program. On Sunday, approved Batista can't challenge King Booker. Batista's dreams of becoming champion went up in flames, and he has knighted Regal and Finlay, so they're part of the court now. Lashley comes down to fight them, and then Batista comes to help, and Booker and Sharmell flee. Teddy Long comes out and says we're going to have a 3-on-2 handicap match in the main event. Kennedy's in action against Matt Hardy. Actually, have a pretty solid match. I got some time. And then near the end, Gregory Helms was on commentary, and he goes and attacks Matt on the apron while the ref's distracted. Kennedy hits a neck breaker, gets the win. So they're starting to push Kennedy a little bit. Sylvester Turquet gets a win over Tatanka. Vicky Guerrero's here. It's time for her to move on, not be around wrestling anymore. She's sad and ashamed.
Well,
sad and ashamed about
promises you can't keep.
What she's done. She shouldn't have gotten involved in the Chavo and Ray stuff. She wants to apologize to both of them. So Ray comes out. She apologizes and hugs him. And Chavo comes out and apologizes. And then Ray goes to leave. And Chavo attacks him. And Chavo gets a chair. And Vicky tries to take it from him. And eventually he puts it down. And Vicky picks it up and hits Ray with it instead.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have our turn, and now this is going to be basically the Guerrero family versus Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving forward here, with Paul London versus Casey James, the Pitbulls came out and attacked London and Kendrick and started brawling with Stevens and James as well. So we have some just general tag team wrestling angles here.
Yes.
Also,
The Miz is having a match next week.
He is.
His debut match.
His debut match. Correct.
Finally ready.
MVP has a front row seat this week. He's still in negotiations.
Yeah.
The Boogeyman is coming back soon as well. In women's action, Crystal defeated Jillian Hall. The SmackDown Women's Division is trying for some reason.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't say for some reason.
They don't have a title, though.
They don't have exactly. They don't have a title. It's not for stakes, and it very much seems like they're just trying to hit a quota, and it's like,
yeah.
Whatever. Jimmy Wang Yang is also coming soon.
You know.
Yeah.
It was an entertaining vignette. It's just nice. You know, we got four new people announced for SmackDown in, you know, 15 minutes of the show or whatever.
Exactly.
It's kind of boring. We're watching Vito every week.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Speaking of Vito, he beats Sylvain and then cuts a promo on MVP after the match and challenges him to a match, but MVP still doesn't have a contract, so he can't. But if he had a contract, he would definitely fight Vito.
Yes, and... In our main event, Booker T, Regal, and Finlay take on Batista and Lashley. The heels cut the ring in half, basically, attacked Lashley for a while, kept Batista away. Batista got the hot tag, came in, guns blazing, eventually finished off Booker with a spine buster, and that's your end of the show.
Yeah, not bad.
Not too bad at all.
Not at all. So with this technically full week with SummerSlam and the 1 week of wrestling... Who would you guys select as our king of the ring? We got two heel champions. We got a Jeff Hardy.
Probably Jeff Hardy. He came back. Came back to the big leagues.
Yeah, no, I guess that's fair. At least Vince would say that he got back to the big leagues. So, yeah. Well, I guess we can give it to Jeff. And then, you know, I haven't heard from Jeff in a minute. I hope that's a good thing. Prayers and well wishes to Jeff. Let's get out of here because we have T-minus 1 hour till football.
Yes.
If you're listening to this while you watch football, thank you guys so much. I am at Cameron Santo. Rob's at RobinNeil31. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. At BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. If you have Apple Podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the brand new feed. I'm hoping you already know this. If you're listening and you're listening on Apple Podcasts, well, let's just say, hey, you haven't heard us or seen us. You're on Spotify trying to find us. We're not on SoundCloud anymore. Level the fuck up. It's 2022. So, yeah, find us on Spotify. Search the new feed on Apple Podcasts. Rate us 5 stars. Give us a review. Shoot us up the algorithms. We really appreciate it with this brand new feed. Not sure what else. 70 at the house. We'll talk about today's 49ers Rams game. It is pouring rain. I'll have an update on the Eagles. That'll be on the BC at thebcnet.com. And then yeah, enjoy your Sundays. Enjoy your week. We'll be back next week. Talk about a couple more weeks in pro wrestling as we charge towards Extreme Rules in Philly next month. For Chris and Rob, I'm Pierce. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you guys later.